There's a lot of confusion about B6 and P5P, and many of my patients ask many questions about the differences and what is too much and why reactions occur. Today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, I want to discuss the benefits of B6 as well as some of the pitfalls. So stay tuned. Welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to discuss vitamin B6 because there's a lot of confusion about this vitamin and what is too much, some of the issues with what's in the literature. And what's interesting is the information that people are getting from ChatGPT and Google AI. And some of it, by the way, just so you know, is absolutely wrong. I want to discuss the information because I think it's really important. And let me give you an example of the information being wrong, because I actually did a search recently about it. And I put in pyridoxal hydrochloride, and it mentioned that it was B5, which is not accurate at all. B5 is pantothenic acid. So when you're looking at the AI information, it's really important to have some knowledge and to double check it, just so you know. And this is probably, I think what the danger here is, because it's pulling information from everything on the internet, in effect, there's no real gatekeeper about that data. And this is true for everything. And it's really kind of an interesting, you still have to have your own thought process around whatever it is you're doing, just so you know. I put that in here just as a quick aside. What we want to talk about today, and let me start with B6 and P5P, because they're actually the same vitamin. One is the active form, that's P5P, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, and it has an extra phosphate group on it that the body actually can put on it, but it doesn't do anything until that group is on it. And then there's pyridoxine hydrochloride. That is the form that gets into the cell. So when we take B6, it is good to take a little of each. And we're not completely sure why that is. It's interesting. The theory is that the P5P helps the B6 get inside the cell. But when you only take one or the other, we find that it doesn't have the same efficacy as if you take both together. And the dosage that we had seen problems with is actually higher than what is said in some of the literature, and I'll get to that in a minute. So first off, I want to talk about what is functional deficiency versus true deficiency. A true deficiency in anything is when you test it and in the blood, you basically see it, the levels are low. Now, with a lot of these vitamins, the challenge with some of the blood tests, particularly the standard ones, is those numbers fluctuate based on what you've eaten or not eaten. And in my course, I talk a little bit about this. And talk about the numbers, by the way. But as an example, when I was but a wee lad working for a company that made equipment to do this testing, we would give blood just a little bit so that there were samples to do the testing. And one of the things that was really interesting, because I gave it 3 times in a week, and I'll use cholesterol as the example. Cholesterol fluctuated greatly in my blood tests from day to day. And it was definitely a function of what I'd eaten or not eaten prior to having the blood draw. So that's just a simple example. But of course, if you nearly got into a car accident on the way over to the blood draw, that can raise your cholesterol because your cortisol levels will jump and cholesterol will jump with that. So I think it's important to understand that even though you may be quote unquote normal in the blood tests, you could still have a functional deficiency. And that can show up because of a variety of different things. And the biggest one that I've seen in my work is something called pyrrole disorder or pyroluria. And I think I have another podcast about it. I'll double check that. If I don't, I'm going to do one. But basically, there's an issue that shows up where you're functionally low in zinc and B6. And usually this is because of some form of inflammation and or oxidative stress in the body. And it can be as simple as trauma in your childhood or in your lineage. And because we do see high pyrrole levels show up in certain cultures, Irish people, for example. This is a function of generational trauma, we believe. And so you can be functionally low in B6 and zinc, even though your blood levels are normal. And by the way, one other point, and I mentioned this in the course, I'll talk about it in a minute. But in this course, I do talk about how the levels that are quote unquote normal are not necessarily truly normal. And the challenge is, and this is a problem, a big problem in medicine, in my opinion, is because as what we're seeing is we're seeing a flattening of the curve. In other words, most of those numbers are basically just, you know, you chop off the lower third of a Gaussian curve and the upper third, and whatever's in between is normal. What's happening is those numbers are spreading out. And so the real number of what is healthy is being lost because of the levels of the numbers changing as a result of greater unhealth in our civilization. So with B6, most people have some form of deficiency. B6 is really interesting. It is used in at least 350 reactions in the body. And part of the problem is either people don't take enough or they take too much. And by the way, too much is a bad thing. And in Dr. Walsh's early career, before the numbers were spreading, by the way, we found that anything above 500 milligrams per day of B6 would cause problems. And that's in the old literature, that was what you would see. If you took more than 500 milligrams, you would see problems showing up, particularly like numbness, tingling. It's called paresthesias in the literature. And by the way, it would go away when you discontinued that high level of dosage. But we wouldn't see it below 300 or 500. And now we are. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in the second part of the show. And what we're seeing is that there's an intolerance that shows up. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So with that, B6 sensitivity does exist. And some people have issues, not just with the neurological issues, but they can start it and have symptoms that include anxiety, irritability, nausea, fatigue, that can show up. Now, what we are finding is when there is any addition to the B6 at times, that shows up and goes away. And what's happening is the body's recalibrating itself. In other words, the 350 reactions, many of those weren't happening at a level that they needed to be. And these reactions, by the way, many of them, what they are is detoxification reactions. So when you add the B6 in, and this is true with a lot of things in holistic health, you start treating it and you have the Herxheimer reaction, which is a paradoxical reaction where you feel worse before you feel better, that happens. In this case, we understand it. It's because the body is starting to clean the system out. And as a result of that, you feel worse. You start to feel symptoms. It's like when you get a cold or a flu, you feel symptoms because your body is creating cytokines and inflammation to clear out the problem. And it's a little different in terms of the mechanism, but it's similar in that regard. Usually these go away within a few days. And if it's a true toxicity, it doesn't go away right unless you stop the vitamin. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk more about some of those paradoxical toxicity symptoms and some of the complicating factors with taking B6. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman, and a couple of things that I just wanted to mention. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com and check out my website. On that website, on the top, there's actually two courses. One is more about folate specifically. The other is about all of the vitamins. Now, I advertise the course towards anxiety, but it's actually useful for any sort of health issue, mental health issue in particular. And the second course, which is much more comprehensive, goes through many issues in terms of anxiety, depression, mental health, and what it is that I do. And I'm looking at changing this offering to include monthly meetings with me for about for a year. In other words, it will be rolling, but you'll get 12 meetings. And they'll be at a set time. However, if you can't make it, you can email me questions that I will answer, and then you can watch the video later. And I'm putting that together. I'm putting that offering together. So look for that. And I'll be sending an email out about that as well. So if you aren't already on my email list, you can get on that on the website. So, all right. So let's get back to B6 and some of the sensitivities and the intolerances that happen with it. Now, because the body needs to convert pyridoxine to P5P in the liver, if the conversion doesn't happen, the pyridoxine builds up and becomes like almost like a toxin to the body. It's just irritating. And we see this with other things, by the way, that we prescribe. SAMe is a big one. If homocysteine is too high, SAMe will build up and become toxic, even if you're an undermethylator. So the trick is to add the P5P to this because that helps the conversion process. But it's also important to understand why this is not converting. And this is not an easy thing to figure out. And the reason is the piece that I mentioned, there's over 350 reactions that B6 is involved with. And most of that can happen because of something that is going on in the body. Now, the one that I want to mention that is sort of separate from the body is something called the biofilm. And this is something that is hard to sometimes figure out. Biofilm is almost like a super infection in the body. Now, there's no real test for it, from what I know, at least not yet. But basically what happens is there's certain microbes that will create a protein sheath in the intestines that is basically blocking the absorption of some things. And you have to not only kill the infection, but break down this biofilm that's happened in the intestinal tract somewhere. It's not something that you can see on imaging that I know of, and it's not something I believe that is really treated in the mainstream gastrointestinal world. But what I've seen with many of my patients is once we treat that, the B6 intolerance goes away. And I think it's an important piece to recognize because it does happen. Now, is it the only reason that we see these B6 intolerance? No. But it is a big one that I've seen. And it's nice because at least when there's an intolerance that we have in the body, we can definitely make changes quickly through this treatment. One of the ways to kind of figure this out is to take a big dose, 100 milligrams, for example, of B6, and see if you react to it. And generally, if it's just a detox reaction, the detox reaction goes away after a few days. And you could also start it, stop it, restart it. The detox reaction will go away. If it doesn't go away, it's possibly a biofilm. And you probably want to work with someone on that. And I do work with people when I can do this remotely. I don't need to see people in office for this. But you definitely want to figure this out. A couple of other things I just want to mention that are complicating factors. Histamine and mast cell issues there's sort of this dual relationship between that and the B6, because the B6 is a cofactor in histamine breakdown. So some people with MCAS or histamine issues, if they take a big amount of B6, they can react poorly to the B6. So keep that in mind. And also, if there's an imbalance of zinc and copper, B6 can also throw that off as well. So those are some of the complicating factors with taking B6. B6, by the way, like I said, it's used in over 350 reactions. And people with pyrrole issues, this is definitely a necessary component of it. And unfortunately, there's sort of this catch-22, if you will, that shows up with the B6, because when there's high levels of inflammation, the B6 reactions aren't happening properly. And once you take it, because of the inflammation, you're reacting to the B6. And sometimes people just have to power through it. And sometimes you kind of need to do it piecemeal, like ramp up slowly, take other B vitamins can sometimes help. In my course, Eliminate Anxiety Naturally, it's not just about anxiety, but I go through this process in there, and there's a lot of information in this course. It's really comprehensive, just so you know. It goes through methylation, it goes through epigenetics, goes through what tests you need, what tests may not be useful. It goes through all of the benefits and side effects of most of the vitamins and minerals that we can take, and why taking too much of some is actually a bad thing. It's really interesting to me that people in the literature, they focus on taking too much B6, but they don't focus on taking too much folate. And there's a lot of research out there And I've written several articles about this, by the way, in the medical journals about how folate, taking too much folate, is a bad thing for many and most people, particularly if you're not pregnant. So, all right, that's what I have for you today. I hope that you got something out of this and will check out my course, by the way. And it, like I said, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email. And if you like the podcast, please leave a review. Really helps get the word out. And I really enjoy putting this out for people, putting out the information, sharing what I know, sharing my over 20 years of experience in the medical field and mental health field as well. So I will catch you next time.